today I just want to open my message to talk with you about things you can expect in 2019. Now let me say this to you. As of yet, I do not have a prophetic word from the Spirit of God, so I'm not going to make one up. Do you understand that? I'm not going to come up here and say, I feel like the Lord. No, He hasn't put anything in me like that right now. Maybe it'll come this week. Maybe it'll come next month. Maybe it'll come next year. But I'm not going to make it up. How about you? But I have a great message for you that will change your life if you'll just hear what this guy is saying by the Spirit of the Lord. Can you say amen? I started out with this. I'm here to share with you today that 2019 could be the beginning of a prosperous life for you if you do not already have one. And let it continue to increase for those who do. That's fair. If you're in a place where you say, it's not working for me right now, then I want this message to ignite something in you to turn things around in your life. If you're already doing well, thank God for that. We rejoice with you. But did you know you can even do better? How many of you believe if you're doing good, you can even do better? Come on, say that. If I'm doing okay or well, I can even do better. Hallelujah. And I believe that with all of my heart. Typically, prosperity, so I'm going to talk about prospering in 2019. Prosperity, typically, God's way, doesn't happen overnight. It is a process. Brother Hagin used to say years ago that God doesn't pay up every Saturday night. But He does pay up. Your faith out there, believing God, He will honor and He'll pay up. Can you say amen? You know how I'm saying that. I talked about that a little bit on Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, the agreement service rather, on the 3rd. It was just a great moment to make sure that we understand God has something for us. And I believe in the beginning of a year, it's a time to begin to put out vision for the year. How many of you have vision for this year already? You have it in your heart. How many of you say, I'm still working on that? Let me see your hands. We got about as many of one as we do the other. And that's typically the case. But I want to declare to you that I believe it's God's will that you prosper. And before you turn me off, I want you to hear me out throughout this message. And then you decide what you believe about it based on what I will read to you from God's Word. We're going to begin, though. You see, it begins somewhere. The blessing of God has to have a beginning. It begins somewhere. And God tells us where this comes from. It's from wisdom. Say out loud, the wisdom of God belongs to me. Now, Proverbs 9:10a tells you exactly what you need if you want to tap into the wisdom of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Say that with me out loud. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, fear here isn't what we normally think of in terms of fear. It's not fearing God like He's got something bad He's ready to hurt you with. It isn't fearing Him like you'd fear a rattlesnake. I don't know about you, but I don't like snakes. Bea and I were out horseback riding a couple years ago, or two or three years ago, and we're coming along on a trail, and all of a sudden I heard something that sounded like a sprinkler. And I look over to the left, and there's big old fat rattlesnake coiled up, ready to strike. I don't like that. Some people almost have that opinion of God. They literally think He's all coiled up waiting for you to mess up so that He can strike you. No, He's wanting to uncoil you, hallelujah, and turn you around and turn you into something He can bless. Do you believe that? Yes. Say out loud, that's what I believe. No, the fear of God is this. It means that you reverence Him and you respect Him, therefore you honor His word in your life above everything else. If you want to prosper in 2019, you need to get in the book. Turn to somebody and say, I need to get in the book. Now, you may be here today, man, I came to hear something different today. I'm going to give you the best news you could walk out of here with today, and that's that. Get in the book. Tell somebody, I need to get in the book. Hallelujah. Do you believe that?
Yes.
This respect that we give him begins with his word. We're respecting his word. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody? Now, you know, as an under-shepherd to Jesus, when I'm with people, I'm always trying to monitor my heart to see if there's something that maybe I should speak into their life or something like that. And I'm sure you do that with your friends and you do that with your children, and we do that as parents. And you know, really, that's what a pastor is. He's kind of a parent to a lot of adults and people in the house of the Lord. And so sometimes just as an under-shepherd to Jesus, I'll see somebody heading in a direction that I think maybe they need to be arrested from. How many of you have ever done that with a friend? Or you've done that with a family member? Or you've done that with one of your kids? Or you've even done that with yourself? I'm going in the wrong direction here. I got to turn around. Well, sometimes as you're doing that, if it isn't what the person wants to hear, they do not respect what you're saying. Number one, I just want to say this. God doesn't give us under shepherds for nothing, and I'm not promoting the shepherd here today. I'm only saying he's the same way with friends. He tells us to bear one another's burdens, to pray for one another. So it's important. But when you're in an office, when God sets you in an office and you're trying to help people like I'm doing today right up here, I'm asking you to have ears to hear. You can decide at the end what you believe about what I've said, but in the meantime, don't miss what I'm saying because you're thinking, I would like to hear something else today. No, the word of the Lord is coming to me saying 2019 can be a great beginning for you if you'll turn your ear from the direction you're going, the sounds you're hearing, and turn your ear to the truth of the word of God. Hallelujah. His word is a lamp unto my feet. It brings light. It brings entrance into me. Can you say amen? And so I really want to promote that today because you're saying, well, you know, I mean, we're you and I are inundated with an information age. You know, all of us who have cell phones, think how often you turn that thing on and look at it. All day long. What if we did that with God's word? What if we put as much screen time in God's word as we do screen time? Just what if we did that? I mean, I'm guilty too. I'm all the time turning it over. B says, you ever going to put that thing down? You know, I don't like the notification beeps. Beeps get on my nerves, so I have to pick it up and look at it alone. Well, that's my excuse anyhow. Do you have an excuse? How many of you wish your husband would put his cell phone down some? Better yet, I'm not going to get any. How many of you wish your wife would put her Facebook down some? Do you know what they used to call Facebook when I was growing up? Peyton Place. Facebook is nothing more than Peyton Place for many people. I'm glad their shares are falling. I hope they'll keep falling. I know I made a lot of friends today. I don't know how I do it, but I just get in trouble. I just get in trouble all the time. I throw these things out. It's like mentioning Santa Claus at Christmas. You know, I just throw them out to give you something to think about so that you don't overindulge in it. You know, and I think we can do the same with Facebook. How many of you know you can spend too much time facing? How many of you know that? I'm getting a lot of help here today, I can tell. But no, we need to get more time in the Word. You're not going to have any faith if you spend all your time on Facebook. Most of the time, what you hear is gossip. Most twitting is gossip. Oh, my Lord. You know, you see people running off cliffs on stuff.
Right.
Do you understand?
Preach.
I mean, you really do. They're just on this horse and they're going. They don't understand there's a cliff. They don't have time to stop that horse. I almost did that one time. This is a true story. B was with me. We were riding. I'm going up. We're down at near Kissimmee. River Ranch. And we're coming along the Kissimmee River there. I'm riding my horse. I'm up a good pace. I'm going up this where they dug this out. They'd left an embankment all along down there. And I'm going up, and I'm running up the hill on this horse, not realizing that right on the other side is a canal. And I'm going up there on my horse, Cochise at the time. I rode him up, and he just put on the brakes. When he put on the brakes, I went flying off of him. He took off running in the opposite direction, and instead of B checking on me, she took off after the horse. I'm rolling down the hill, and she's taking off after a horse. Got to do something to lighten y'all up today. Let's just have a good time in the house. But I want you to leave today with the idea that I'm going to put my nose in the book. I'm going to put my eyes on the words of God, and I'm going to respect what he says. And if what he says runs counterculture with what's going on around me, I'm going to take God's word over what I see and what people are doing today, because people are going in a wrong direction. There's churches making it comfortable for their people to sin. They will not preach a message on holiness, and the reason they can't, they're not living holy themselves. It's hard to preach holiness if you're not living it. Amen. Well, so let's begin 2019. Let's start over. Is that all right? With wisdom. Let's look in the book of Proverbs chapter 4 for a moment and get the word on this. We're going to start there. Proverbs 4:20, and then we're going to go through chapter 5, verse 2. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. In other words, keep looking at the word. Keep them in the midst of your heart. You see, the process is like this. My eyes see the word. I allow that word to change the way I think. And while I'm processing through thought, the word that is washing my mind all of a sudden drops in my heart, and so it leaves just my solical realm, and it gets in my spirit, so that when pressure comes out of my spirit, comes the word. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what the word does. It washes. It cleanses. If you're weak spiritually, you know, before you do anything else, go get in the word. Just sit down, get somewhere quiet, and start reading the word. Just read it and read it and read it. And before long, you'll be ready to pray and pray and pray. Why? Because the word is washing you. Hallelujah. And you're getting washed by the word of life, and all of a sudden, it's going to change the way you think. Do you know why we think the way we do right now? Because we're hearing more of what the world has to say than we are what God has to say. So the world is winning the argument because we're not getting in the word to hear the counter argument from God's perspective. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when you can't even go into a restroom today without being concerned about a man's going to be in there if you're in a woman's bathroom, or a woman being in there if you're in a man's bathroom, we're in an upside down world. Now, you can get mad with me. You can walk out on me. That is your choice. But if you walk out on God, I can't help you. God can't help you. You've got to take a stand at some point. The church of Jesus Christ has to stand up and say, I've had enough. Amen. Keep your heart with all diligence. He says, for they are life to those that find them, health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Do you know God has touched everything we need to know for this life in His Word? You'll hear this new concept right along. You shouldn't do this, or you should do that, and it just goes and goes and goes. And then 6 months later, they say they're wrong about that. And now you got to do this, and you got to do that. If you'll go back to the Word, you'll find that this is a manual for living that you can depend on every single day of your life, and He's the God who changes not. What He was yesterday, you can count on Him to be today. What He is today, He'll still be tomorrow. He's the God who changes not. Hallelujah. Say this with me. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I was with Bea when she was having her hand worked on a few months ago now. And the doctor is trying to explain something to us. And he could not use certain terms because it violates certain regulations where he couldn't even tell us what he wanted to tell us because he's afraid that this transgender stuff is going to get him in trouble. True story. I'm listening to him, and I'm thinking to myself, enough is enough. Enough is enough. I'm going to just stand up here. You can get mad at him if you want to, but a boy doesn't need to go in a girl's bathroom, and a girl doesn't need to go in a boy's bathroom. It's crazy. Tell somebody, it's crazy. And you know what's sad? It's just a small percentage of people that have pushed that envelope until they've been accepted, and here we are with the gospel, and we're cowing down to this junk, and we're not standing up as children of God for the Word of God. Every word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. And put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead. How many of you know there's many diversions out there? There's many things out there with neon signs, LEDs now, trying to get your attention. He says, let your eyelids look straight, right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Now notice, do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. That's the Word of God. And then the next two verses in chapter 5 says, my son, that's daughters too, we're all sons of God, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. As I talk about prospering in 2019, allow me to invoke God's word on the subject beyond my opinion. We all have an opinion. If your opinion isn't based on the Word of God, it's just an opinion. When it is the Word of God, then we have to pay attention to that. Right now, why don't you decide, I'm going to step up higher spiritually in 2019. Why don't you just decide that? It's an internal adjustment. Why don't you make the decision on the inside of you, I have floundered spiritually long enough. Or, a better term, I have tread water long enough. I want to swim. I don't want to tread water any longer. I want to move forward. I don't want to stay in the same spot where I've been for the last few years or months or weeks. I want to move forward. Can you say amen? Amen. You see, every time you start preaching truth, you bring a dividing line. And you don't think it affects us. It does affect us. I've had people while I'm preaching get right up and walk out the door because they will not hear the word of the Lord. They won't hear it. Paul spoke of this day. He said, the day is coming when they will not endure. Listen to this. Sound doctrine. They'll endure doctrine, but not sound doctrine. They will heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and will turn away from the truth and be turned unto fables. But you, O man of God, flee these things. See how quiet it is today? Anytime you go counterculture, I've seen people that I loved and do love. I don't agree with them. But I've seen them forsake truth just to get more people. Listen, every pastor wants to see his church grow. But if I have to compromise the Word of God in order to see Family Worship Center grow, I don't want to see it grow. I want to stand in front of Jesus, and I mean that. I mean it with every fiber of my being. If that's what I've got to do, forget it. I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. I want to go to heaven one day, and I want to hear the word, "Well done, you good and you faithful servant." Don't you want to hear that? Well done. How many of you want to hear well done? Well done, you good and faithful servant. Praise God. And it comes by listening to the word. If God says it, you've heard this old statement, I believe it, and that settles it for me. There's such strength in the word. As we read and meditate on the word and as we wait before the Lord, let's open our hearts up and let God redirect some of our steps. In the Old Testament book of Joshua, God told Joshua how to prosper and have good success. Notice what he told him. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Here we go again. But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, I want everybody to say then, or after. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Years ago, when I was just 17 years of age, I came home one night, I went to bed, and it was one of those times between going to sleep, pondering. Just, I'd been in a red, hot, fiery service. I'd freshly given my heart to Jesus. And I go to bed, and all of a sudden, I have this genuine vision where I literally heard the voice of God. I've never since heard the audible voice of God. I've heard God speak to me to where I knew He spoke. But this was the audible voice of the Lord. I was in this round building. You have to understand now. Back then, the largest Pentecostal church that I knew of in North Carolina had only 300 members, and that was considered a big church. And so this church with hundreds of seats, this big round building, looked like a giant cathedral to me, 17 years old, coming up in Wan Chis, North Carolina, where the population's only 800 people. The building was bigger than if you'd have put all the people in. I mean, they still would have looked halfway empty. And I'm all of a sudden hearing this voice come from the roof of the building, the round building. 13 words. And here they are. Follow in the path of Joshua. Joshua, you know, means Jesus. Follow in the path of Joshua and be a leader of my people. Not the leader. I want everybody to say, not the leader. Just a leader. That's what a shepherd is. An under-shepherd is a leader. He's not the leader. Of course, Jesus is the leader. I make that distinction because you shouldn't lift yourself up. But it did put something in me about the life of Joshua that many times I've gone back over that. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you're to meditate in it both day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. For therein you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. I knew God spoke that. I heard that as audible as a man speaking to me. And I knew, I mean, 17 years of age. I tried to run from it later. I tried to get away from that voice, but it was something I never could shake. But I always had tremendous respect and paid great attention to the book of Joshua. Since I want to talk just a little further about this, I want to give you a biblical definition for prosper. I've given it before, but I don't believe you'll improve on it. It's a great concept. The biblical definition for prosper means this: to have a successful journey through life. How many of you can agree with that? It doesn't say you're going to have a house with six pillars out front and a Rolls Royce in your driveway. That isn't what it's saying. It is saying that you will have a prosperous, successful journey through life. You see, there are people that have lots of money, and if you look at them the world's way, they look prosperous. But I was noticing just last week, we think about Apple, how rich the Apple Corporation is. They lost a whole Facebook in depreciation just last week, over the last few weeks. You think about that. The world sees prosperity one way. Their whole concept of prosperity is dollars and cents. Well, God wants to give you dollars and cents, but I want to tell you this, it's far, 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 far more than dollars and cents. Tell somebody that. You know, you can have all the money in the world, but if you get a disease, your money is not worth a nickel. If you've got a disease, it'll take you out. But your faith in God is worth more than any amount of money that you'll have anywhere. And that's the truth. Amen. I was thinking about this just in my thoughts. I thought about an older gentleman that I grew up around in my home church. His name was Brother Earl Tillett. Brother Earl was a guy that he just was a man of common sense. And if he gave you a nugget, he'd always scratch his head and give you a nugget. So here's one of his nuggets. He was in the concrete business, Brother Earl, and he'd always ride this old dilapidated car. When that one wore out, he'd get him another one. And the reason that he bought an older car is the minute he'd buy it, he'd go smash in the top so that he could take around some bags of concrete in his car. Now, he's got children driving Lincolns and Cadillacs. Back then, they were the cars of the day. Today, you know, add a lot more names to that. BMW, Lexus, you know, on and on and on. You can go because Mercedes, whatever. But back then, the two major cars were Lincolns and Cadillacs. So they came to Brother Earl. They said, Earl, don't you think your kids are embarrassed at you? They're riding around in these Lincolns and these Cadillacs. And here you are riding up and down the road in this old beat-up car with concrete sacks on top of it. He scratched his head. He said, yeah, and this old beat-up car is what makes payments on those Lincolns and Cadillacs in the wintertime. The thinking of the world is so different from us. We've got to change the way we think if we want to walk in the prosperity of God. If we want to have a successful journey through life God's way, we've got to change from the world's way. You see, the world's way can be high today and low tomorrow. You can buy stocks today. They may go up, but they may bottom out. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. There's volatilities out there in the market that you don't know what's going to happen. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that. If you're going to do it, be led of the Spirit in doing it. I'm not against that. I'm simply saying we measure everything the way the world thinks. But you and I, if we want to be successful, we go and lay out before the Lord our plans and what our thoughts are and let Him guide our steps so that we don't make those blunders and mistakes. And like the people in the world that have lost millions of dollars, I mean just millions over just a few weeks, they're wanting to jump out of high rises because they've put their faith in that which is perishing. Okay. I can remember when I had plenty of this world's goods. I had a 5-bedroom home. I had a paid-for Mercedes in the driveway. I had a boat on a lift out on a lake that I had an automatic thing that would lift it right up out of the water on the chain of lakes in Winter Haven at the time. I was really riding high. Sometimes I'd make $25,000 in one day. I was doing really well. But my marriage wasn't happy. We were miserable. My soul was vexed. I didn't know how to fix what was wrong. You can have all this world's goods and still not be successful. People think in terms of dollars and cents. It is far, tell somebody, punch somebody, say, it's far more than what you have in your wallet. I would have given everything I had in the natural to have come home and we be at peace with each other. Money means nothing if you're miserable. You can't hug it at night. You can't kiss it. You can't love on it. It's a poor partner. I think you need money. We need money. We got to pay our rent or our mortgage, house payments, car payments, whatever we owe money on. You know, I don't believe it's debt as long as what you have equity in. I'm big on not financing things that aren't equitable. I could give you a whole lesson on that. We need to be careful about getting into debt where you can't get out of something. You know, like if I buy a car, I'm going to make sure I've got enough in it when I buy it that if I need to sell it, I can do that. You say, well, there's no faith in that. No, sometimes circumstances dictate certain things. They're supposed to have wisdom. You say amen? This is actually good stuff here today. It's a little further than I'd planned to go. You can prosper. I want you to punch. Let's punch yourself first. Just poke yourself right here. Say, I can prosper beyond where I am. God has some ways to prosper me above my paycheck. You see, sometimes all of our faith is getting a raise. God can give you, can circumvent that and give you an investment. He can give you an opportunity. He can do something for you supernatural. But if you give all of your attention to that, a Christian's mantra cannot be greed. Greed cannot be our creed. I believe in prosperity. I believe in that message, the balanced one. I don't believe in the extreme one. And I believe God wants to bless you in your pocketbook. Take your pocketbook out right now. Go ahead. If you have a purse, lift it up. Some of you, it's too heavy to lift up. Hold it right up. Say this. I believe it's God's will that my pocketbook even prospers. But it's in proportion to something more important, which is as my soul prospers. See, I teach it from what I believe is balanced living. I believe God wants to bless you. I believe everybody in this room wants to be blessed. And how many of you say with me, I do want to be blessed in 2019? Lift up both hands if you do. Say, I receive that. I receive a blessing in 2019. But more importantly than my pocketbook is my spiritual life. And first of all, foremost and most, I want to prosper spiritually. You see, that's what John said. Beloved, I wish above all things, listen to this, all things, that you might prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Some people argue, well, that was just a salutation. John's just greeting his friend Gaius. Yes, it was a salutation. But do you think the man who'd walked with Jesus over 3 years would pray something that he didn't believe was the will of God about his friend? No, that's stupid thinking. No, God's word, all scripture, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. If God said it, I believe it. If it's in the word, I receive it. Hallelujah. Come on and say aloud, I believe that. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight will be in the word the Lord, and in His word will he meditate, ponder both day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water that will bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also will not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Say, that's the word. Stand up, everybody. I've gone long enough. I'll be talking about this next Sunday. So we'll stop right now. Come on, just stand up and lift up your hands one more time. This is our exercise class. It's the most of us get. Come on. Come on, lift your hands up. Wave your hands unto the Lord. Say, Lord, I believe your word. I believe it's your will that I do well in life, and I'm going to align myself with the will of God. Hallelujah. Now thank him for it. Give him praise for it. Say this, I'm going to come up. Come on, up, up, up. I'm coming up. No matter how well I've done, I'm going to do better. Hallelujah. I'm going to do better in my marriage. I'm going to do better with my kids. I'm going to do better with my time. I'm going to do better with my money. I'm going to do better all the way around. But more importantly, I'm going to give myself more to God in 2019 than I did in 18 or 17 or 16 or way back. I'm going to look forward and not look behind. I can't help what I did yesterday, but I can help what I do from today forward. Hallelujah. Forgetting those things that are behind, I press forward unto the prize and the mark and the high calling of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on and give him thanks one more time.